Let's turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John. John chapter 6. I gotta tell you, I like Mr. Simpson. He is one of the few guys in the world that I know that wants to pick up the pace on a dirge. I like it. You guys know what I'm talking about. One of those... Yeah. What did Jesus say about, you know, it's like the children crying out in the marketplace? We sang a dirge for you, you did not mourn. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. Jesus contrasts him coming with that of John the Immerser. But with Mr. Simpson around, man, even the songs that are intended to be dirges, we're going to pick it up. I like that. I like a little push. One of the best books I ever read, outside of the Bible, is a book called Never Stop Pushing. Appreciate you never stopping pushing, Mr. Simpson. All right, John chapter 6. And we're going to pick it up in verse 52 through 63 this evening. The Jews therefore began to argue with one another, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus therefore said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died, he who eats this bread shall live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." I don't know about you guys, but for a long time in my mind, just reading through John chapter 6, when they came to Capernaum, back here in verse 24, seeking Jesus, and then in verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And then there's this long discussion. And I never pictured in my mind it being in the synagogue in Capernaum. I mean, every time it almost like reminds me, okay, this discussion took place in the synagogue, this teaching of Jesus. And so these guys were seeking him out in the first place, and we remember the primary means, the reason they were seeking him was to get something, particularly to get something physical. And the Lord He's transitioning them. He's trying to get them shifted out of what do I want, okay, physically, to what do I want and what do I need spiritually. And with that, even, there's a push that's going to... God's transitioning all of us, brethren, because I think all of us come to Christ initially recognizing we have a tremendous need. When, how many of you, when it registered with you that God was not hearing your prayers, was that a motivator to you to get right with Him? And I know it's taught out there, and God hears the prayers of everybody, but it's not that God isn't aware of everybody, and it's not that God doesn't care about everybody, but the Scripture is really clear. You take Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, for example, the Scripture is really clear that sins cause a separation between a person and God. And so, I know when that kind of registered with me, where I was at in my relationship with God, that relationship had been broken, that was a motivator for me. I recognize I need God. And I still recognize, this is what this whole passage of John 6 is. We can't live without Jesus. We need Jesus. But the amazing thing is Jesus transitions us. And as we grow in Christ, He's helping us to understand that we can't come to get. We have to come to give. When we actually have an intention of giving to the Lord. That's when we get the most. And so when he's talking about this, and I want to transition a little bit tonight into the Lord's Supper on this. He's talking about, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. There are some cannibalistic societies in our world, but most people inherently know. We know that's wrong. I'll just say something that United States of America, we practice abortion for the purpose, really, of cannibalism now. You know what I mean by that? Stem cells and all that, it's to, we murder children while they're in the mother's womb, and we do that with the scientific intent of taking some of those stem cells to help the rest of us live longer. Same deal, isn't it? And our conscience testifies that that's wrong. That's why people get so fired up about that one. They're trying to avoid the conscience. But societies in general, I mean, you can dull it. How are there cannibalistic societies? Because it gets dulled. Okay? That sear our conscience. How can we have all these babies that are murdered while they're still in their mother's womb in America, and it's commonplace. I mean, it's so commonplace. It's been going on for so long that we get a little bit dulled to that. But we know. Everybody knows. Everybody knows it's wrong. Some of us, maybe right here, have had an abortion. Lord forgives us for that, just like he does any other sin. But we don't want to get... We want our conscience to be strengthened and recognize that's wrong. So when Jesus starts talking about eating my flesh and drinking my blood, the Jewish perception of this from a physical perspective is, what is he talking about? That's not right. That goes against everything that we know from the Old Testament. That goes against everything that we know from God. So anybody who's listening with a brain halfway connected, you're going to realize Jesus is driving at something spiritual here. He's talking about, you can't live without me. As Jesus is communicating this, of course, we know the arguments about who is this guy. And I mentioned this last week a little bit. Guys, don't be surprised when people don't recognize you're born of God. They didn't recognize the Son of God while he was here in the flesh. Okay? Don't be shocked that nobody recognizes when you're a Son of God. But we know these guys are in an uproar about this. So in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?" You know, a physical mindset makes it impossible to understand the things of God. But one of the things that the Lord is working on in all of us is to get our spiritual eyes open. I will just tell you this. Your spiritual eyes, that's what's going to live forever. That's what's going to see forever. So you do well, all of us would do well, to get those open now. And that's what the Lord's work on all of us, that our spiritual eyes would be open. Now let's go back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, Jesus' discussion with Nicodemus. He said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one's born again, he can't see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Those who are fleshly, they don't understand the things of the Spirit. I know, you and I, we have the same experiences with people. We try to engage them in spiritual conversation. And, you know, there's varying levels of interest. But you can only go so far. Even if somebody is really interested, you can only go so far when they're not a Christian. They can't see. They can't recognize the kingdom of God. They can't appraise that which is spiritual. You start talking about eating Jesus' flesh and drinking His blood. I remember a guy who came in here one night on a Lord's Day night, and the Lord's Supper's going around. He didn't really have any church background. He was like wondering about the Kool-Aid. Like if this, you know, the who was the group? They had them all drink the Kool-Aid and they died. You know, he's like, well, what is this? So, somebody not spiritual, he isn't going to understand the things of God. Jesus is talking about some really important spiritual stuff, and the Jews, they can't handle it. Too physical minded to get what he's talking about. So, Jesus said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. And he went on to say, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. We've talked about the two types of life. Bios, biology, right? Physical life. It's the physical life of, my guess is, most of us, if not all of us, that physical life's going to come to an end before Christ returns. I don't know that. He could come back at any minute. But the record of history is, for most people, far and away, most isn't even the right word to say, the bios, that ends before the return of Christ. I didn't bother to look at it, but I saw some headline somewhere. If you want to be immortal, you could pay $200,000 to try something. I have no idea what it was. People have been looking for the fountain of youth for a long time. There is no physical fountain of youth. This life, this bios life is coming to an end. What Jesus is talking about here is the Zoe, the life, the spiritual life, the real life that is forever. And so he says, "You, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, then you will have life. I will give you life, and I will raise you up on the last day." That life is not something that's going to end. You even think of those who, the brethren who have passed on before us that we know intimately. You even think about Mr. Hopper. We can think about Sarah. We can think about Terry. We can think about Todd. And these brethren whom we have known intimately, they live on. You read the Bible, and they're a part of that great cloud of witnesses that's now surrounding us. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, even on the, and I'm going to talk about the Lord's Supper here in a little bit, but we partake of that on the first day of the week, and that's a kingdom meal, and they're a part of that kingdom, they're a part of that meal. That doesn't quit. They have life. That life goes on because of Christ. A lot of people can't see this. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4, I'm going to read verses 3 through 6. Even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. This spiritual life is available only through Christ. And this is not talking about his physical body, is it? And not talking about his physical flesh. And not talking about his physical blood. He's talking about spiritual. And I'm going to encourage all of us, guys, that we continue to grow in Christ. What God's working on is our spirit. He's changing our spirit, our inner man, to be like his. You know, sometimes I joke around, what does Jesus in the flesh look like? He's probably about 5'9" and balding and probably needed glasses. And Bev's laughing. She got it. But, you know, what Jesus looked like in the flesh, the Scripture never says. And it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. At all. What God wants me to see and what God wants you to see is Jesus in the Spirit. He wants you to see Christ in glory. Because that changes our spirit to be like His. That's the food we got to feed on. That's the blood we got to drink. I think it's possible, guys, to read our Bible every day and miss Christ. Is it possible to go through your checklist? It's possible to have prayers that are probably about even physical things. God wants us to see Christ. That's what we need for life. And this gospel is veiled to those who are perishing. Those who are outside of Christ, they can't see the risen, glorified Christ. They do get to see Jesus in the flesh to a degree, and I'm thankful for that because that's the first step to get people. Jesus came down here for a reason, took on flesh and blood for a reason, to be able to grab us all who are in that realm. But you can see, even while Jesus is in the flesh, He's trying to transition these guys to something spiritual, isn't He? And most of them are missing it. Most of them are veiled to it. Okay. Jesus is looking, he's really looking beyond the cross and to the resurrection, to the ministry of the Spirit when He says these things. We've seen that throughout John chapter 3, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus couldn't be born of water and the Spirit at that point in time. In John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. Talking about the rivers of living water, right? The innermost being would flow these rivers of living water. I think I'm stealing from John 7, but it's John chapter 4, you know the discussion he had with the woman at the well. And talked about that very thing. He was looking forward to new covenant. The same thing He's doing here with these guys. He's prepping them for what's to come. And so really, this is relevant. It's most relevant to us who live under this new covenant. The ministry of the Spirit is the means by which Jesus is going to give life to all who eat from Him. All right, go with me for a second to John chapter 14. John 14. Actually, John 13, 14, 15, 16 are all a really good read together sometime. Plug through those together when you get a chance. In John 14, verse 16, Jesus is talking to His apostles who they're still blinded. I mean, this conversation, we know John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through Me." But the whole conversation starts when Jesus says, "You know the way where I'm going." Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know the way. How will we know? We don't know where You're going. How will we know the way?" And then Jesus explains. And then in verse 8, Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father. It's not for us." And Jesus says, "Come on, Philip. I've been with you this long. We've hung out together this long. We've had this many campfires together. We've had this many people get mad at us together. We've had this. And you don't know Me? If you see Me, you've seen the Father. How do you say, 'Show us the Father'?" And then Jesus continues to build on that, doesn't He? And in verse 16 of John 14, He says, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold Him or know Him. But you know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you." Jesus says, you know Him right now because He's living with you. Who would that be? Jesus. Oh, and He will be in you. Because Christ does dwell in our hearts by faith. Amen? We have the Spirit. If we receive, there's a particular point in time, and I'm looking around, I think all of us understand the particular point in time at which God gives the Holy Spirit to us. Once God's given us that gift of the Spirit, then we have a responsibility in that to live by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, to feed on the Spirit, to eat Jesus' flesh and drink His blood in the analogy here. If we don't, we have no life in ourselves. God's looking for spiritual people. You know, sometimes we can wrestle with why this stuff happened and why do these bad things and why... Mike W., oh, there he is in the back. We were talking about this last night. You know, pain is something that God does to... for all of us in our lives to kind of, I think, burn the physical out of us, burn the fleshly out of us, and get us to be spiritual people. This physical realm is not the end. It's intended to be a means for us to get to the spiritual. And if this physical was all rosy and comfy and nice and easy going, How much would you long for that which is the spiritual? I know for me, I think it'd be pretty easy to... Hey, this isn't bad. Personally, there's no appeal to me when Jehovah's Witnesses come around and say, hey, you can live here forever. No, thank you. Okay. I got something. I'm looking for a whole lot more than this. But there, so God, all along the way, guys, His goal within us is to make us spiritual. So the health, wealth, and happiness gospel that's preached is so far removed from the Scripture. Okay? Everybody's buying into that because it's easy sell, it's easy buy. Okay? Everybody wants that if you're physical minded. If your mind's set on the flesh, that sounds really good. But God, He got something a lot better. And it typically involves a lot of sacrifice here in this life. Die to self. Live for Him. So, that the Spirit of Christ who lives in us, He gives life. That's the source of life. That's Zoe. So, I do want to connect with this a little bit. With the Lord's Supper. You guys tell me. We have Lord's Supper meditations every Lord's Day, every first day of the week. I like that. And we have them morning and we have them night. You guys tell me, what are some main points of the Lord's Supper? And just give me a scripture reference. I'm just going to write some stuff on the board really quick. What's something about, that we know about the Lord's Supper? Oh, come on, we listen to this every Lord's Day morning, every Lord's Day night. Don't tell me we're snoozing during it. Tyler. Okay, yeah, we do. So the Lord's Supper. Let's put this up here. It is in remembrance of Christ. Is that a reminder, guys, that we can't live without Him? Lest we eat His flesh and drink His blood, we have no life in ourselves. The Lord's Supper is in remembrance of Jesus. We can't survive without Him. Good one, Tyler. What else we got? Nolan. Okay, this is my blood of the covenant. So it is, it's a new covenant meal, isn't it? And we could even say, if that's the truth, the new covenant is the ministry of what? It's a ministry of, that's true, ministry of reconciliation. That's another part. It's a ministry of the Spirit. It is a spiritual meal, guys. Yep. And we hammer on that around here. This meal is not, on the first day of the week, is not being served in some building on the corner of 48th and Central. The meal is served in heaven. It's a spiritual meal. It's a new covenant meal. It's a ministry of the Spirit. What else, Larry? Jesus, our Passover. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. So, I want to think about that for a second. It's the, Jesus would say, that this will be fulfilled. This is, meal is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Passover has all sorts of things. Let's just put freedom. Freedom from sin. That's a reminder of that. That, guys, can we, could the Israelites set themselves free from the Egyptians? They needed a deliverer, right? Christ is our Passover. He set us free. Reminds us of our dependence upon Him to deliver us. Super Dave.
Fellowship with the brethren and with Christ.
We haven't been hitting scripture references, have we? But that's fellowship with the brethren. And Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:11 both hit those. So this is, somebody said, I heard somebody earlier say ministry of reconciliation. Okay? Doctor in the back. So this is, because one of the things with the brethren, when we partake of this, okay, there's a unit, this is a unity meal, isn't it? It reminds us we've been reconciled to God, and as such we're reconciled, okay, to each other. And there's fellowship, a sharing there, okay, with that. Lorenzo.
Proclaim
the Lord's death. Until He comes. Is that that's not just to us, is it? That's to a world that sees what we're doing. If you think about those memorials on the Old Testament, all those memorial stones and stuff, that was for the benefit of other people. Generations to come and others around, that they would know. When we partake and we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes, every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, guys, it is a proclamation to the people in your neighborhood. It's a proclamation to the people in this neighborhood that Christ died and He's coming again. Matthew. It gives us a picture of who we are because of Christ, that we're think about examine the body rightly. Gives us a true picture of the body of Christ, which includes us individually. Very good. That's true. We have fellowship. It's the peace offering thing that Mr. Simpson's been talking about. We have fellowship with God, and we've been made to be like Him, rich. Importance of service. Can you expound upon that a little bit?
One who serves greater than one who
slaves. I'm gonna hit on this. I'm coming back to this one because this is where I really wanted to spend a little time tonight. Bill. Yeah, it is when we say it's a new covenant, we're doing it in remembrance of Christ, but it also, it is in a way, it's a reaffirming of that covenant, isn't it? Every time we partake. You know, it's interesting, guys, that there are only two places that I see in the New Testament where a Christian contacts the blood of Christ, or where a person contacts the blood of Christ. One is an immersion into Christ to become a Christian, and the other is the Lord's Supper. Continues to reaffirm that covenant that we have with Him. That's good. Brad. Okay. Okay, strength. We could say spiritual provisions, right? We have a table from which those who serve in the old covenant, they have no right to eat. God knows how to provide for His spiritual army, doesn't He? Nolan. Okay. Yeah. And all those things are. I'm gonna tie that one in with what Matthew says. The true picture of who we are. Hey, we died to the law through the body of Christ. Scripture says.
We prove ourselves. We're proving ourselves by remembering, partaking of the meal.
So when we partake, we are sharing with Him, and that's being. Fellowship and proving? I think we got a pretty good Keith. Okay, all of this is a renewing of the mind, isn't it? Okay, it really is. Do you get the impression I have people, and I'm sure you have people who tell you, well, I don't have to go to church, I'll just read my Bible. I say, yeah, read your Bible. Because guess what? You're going to find out Bible tells you something. One thing it tells you is, you know, I'm not going to put it in those terms, go to church, but the Bible's going to tell you to assemble with the saints. Okay, Larry.
It's forgiveness of sin.
So we remember that we our sins have been forgiven. We're in fellowship with Him. All right, I think we did. We got it pretty good. I wanna key in on this one that Rich mentioned. Service, go with me to Hebrews chapter 10 here. I started to hit on this last week a little bit, and I just was getting warmed up. It was time to quit. So go back and hit it a little more. Hebrews 10, I'm going to read a fairly substantial section here. Beginning in verse 19, and we will go through verse 29. Okay? Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. That's something it does for us, doesn't it? Reminds us we have confidence to enter the holy place. When the book of Hebrews at this point in time is talking about the holy place, the veil is removed. This is the presence of God. Okay? By a new and living way, so we said new covenant, which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that His flesh. It ties in there, doesn't it? Since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. There's the forgiveness of sins, Larry, you were talking about. Let's hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. And it's a reminder, guys, of who we are. You hang on to that. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, and as regard as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has insulted the Spirit of grace? Right. Now, verse 29 is interesting. Regard as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified. Who? Somebody said that. It's the blood. This is my blood of the covenant, which is given for you. The scripture in this context, guys, he's particularly talking about the Lord's Supper. He's contrasting that with some of the requirements of the law of Moses. What I'm thinking of is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You break the Sabbath day, what happened? Cut off. Okay? You die if they catch you in that. Okay? So what happens to the new covenant isn't remember the Sabbath day. It's do this in remembrance of me. Guys, God's not going to assign somebody to come up grab some spiritual rocks and stone you to death. But you start forsaking the assembling together, and you start missing the Lord's Supper, you're going to be cut off. Spiritually die. This important meal. And I want you to notice when I said at the beginning that Jesus is transitioning all of us. He's helping us to really make that move from being people who just come to get, to be takers, to being givers. And I want you to notice here in Hebrews 10, when we come, what are we supposed to do? Verse 24. Let's consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And we're supposed to encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Because I've hit this before a lot of times. I'm just going to re-hit it. If you come with the clear intention of giving, and you consider, and you prayerfully consider, how can I stimulate my brother to love and good deeds, and you go out of your way to encourage, when you come to the assembly and partake of the Lord's Supper, you will be amazingly encouraged. You will be filled with life. But if you come with the, like just with the need and coming to get and coming to receive only, you will be more often than not disappointed. You'll notice all the people who didn't talk to you. You'll notice all the, you know what? That's the way it works. It's a great example to me still was when we, a bunch of us went and saw Don Fletcher when he was in prison. We went there with the intention of encouraging him and building him up. And I mean, this guy had a great attitude. And we came and we left that place and we were the most, I know from letters that he wrote us after, he was incredibly encouraged too. But I was personally really built up. What if we would have gone there though with a, I mean, he did have a great attitude, but what if we would have gone with a down and out sort of mentality? Kevin calls the Eeyore syndrome, gone to visit a poor guy in prison. Sorry, this is, you know. Probably the way we would have left. But you go to encourage, you go to strengthen, and you get encouraged and strengthened. Jesus is really working. These guys came at the beginning for some physical meal. They wanted something for free from Jesus. He gives us free, something free. He gives us life, real life. But in that process, He gives us life. He teaches us the way we really live is when we lay down our lives and give to others.
I think there's another side to that that bears mentioning too. Is it's not that there's also the instance where we're just so beat down and I mean personally, I'll just speak for me. There are times when I'm, man, I just can't even drag my butt over there. You know, my sorry carcass is in such a low spot at the moment, and but I knew I had to get here because the spiritual food that would pep me up was here, and it's exactly what I needed. So there's that too. But what I found is once I'm here and everyone's smiling and so warm and loving, and it really encouraged me to encourage.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's a good point, and I am glad you bring that up, Mike. Because sometimes we are in a, you know, we might be sometimes people don't, you know, I don't deserve to go. I'm not worthy to go. I'm beat down. I'm not, you know, get in here. I'll let the Lord work on you. You've been giving the devil a shot all week. Shots all week. Get in here and get yourself encouraged. But when you come, do, you know, get that right mindset too. But you are right, Mike. Sometimes just get to the table. You're crawling for those, you know, a soldier in this army, and you're crawling to get those provisions that the Lord has set. And there's a lot of traps and the minefield sometimes we got to do to get there. So,
that's why I appreciate the way the Lord has it set up, because He knows the hearts of man and He knows what we need in order to make it in this life. And in Hebrews 3, He says, encourage one another day after day as long as it's still called today, so that none of you may be deceived by sin. Like, sin is deceitful. And if you are, like it said in Hebrews 10, continually in sin, eventually your heart will be hardened, and then, like you opened with, things that normally would not seem okay, now we become dull to, eventually leading to a lack of repentance.
Yeah, so again, it's all these, that's that renewal of the mind too, isn't it? God has this thing perfectly designed. We hit on the board here, and we, you know, hands were still going up. Lord's Supper is very, Tim McHenry one time called it a holistic meal. It includes a lot of things. And it reminds us of Jesus. And there is something spiritual, guys, that happens when we partake. Is immersion in water? Yes. Is there a spiritual work that God performs? Yes. Did we partake of unleavened bread and fruit of the vine? Something physical? Yes. Is there something spiritual that happens? Yes. And if we avoid those, if we avoid that, or if we come with the wrong attitude in that, no spiritual life. We'll shrivel up and die. And I don't know about you guys, but I decided a long time ago, I want to be good soil. I want to make it. I didn't get the end of this thing to quit, to give up, get run over, get run down. And I can't do it on my own. The message of Christ and what, you know, what I know by experience, I can't do this on my own. We need Christ. And by His, part of what He has ordained and designed is the Lord's Supper. The communion with Him, the communion, the fellowship with each other, what we gain from each other. And again, I want to remind you what we gain, you know, when we give. And so I would like all of us to consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Maybe something right now, you got something popping in your mind, but I want you, if not, I want you to take some time this weekend to write something down. What can you bring? You come to the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day. What do you personally bring? How can you stimulate one another to love and good deeds? We don't all have the same place in the body. We don't all have the same gifts, but we all have them. Maybe some of us, we think, I only got one talent. Lord, You only gave me one. Hey, one is plenty to give. What? Think about it. Because God is working on all of us spiritually to be alive. To be alive in Him and to get life from Him. We got to give. I like Steve Doty asked the question, what are you doing as a Christian that you weren't doing before? Like, what are you doing that you need the Holy Spirit for? What's he say? Helping old ladies cross the street? And, you know, there's some nice things you can do, but there are non-Christians who can do that. What in your life, consider how to stimulate. What is something that you know you can't do on your own with the help of the Spirit you can bring? One thing that encourages me about the Spirit, these rivers of living water that continually just spring up from within. And you know, the Spirit is called in Greek, it's pneumos. And you can probably figure out we have a word pneumonia. It's something to do with breath, right? The Spirit's He's our breath. And I think of this sometimes, He's our second wind. Like, you know, you ever push yourself on something and you get to a point and you get this little spot and you don't know if you can go any further, but you stay with it and you kind of get through that, and then the second wind kicks in and you can keep going. Spirit's our second wind. But if we never push through beyond what we are personally, physically capable of ourselves, where's the opportunity for the Spirit to work in our lives? Because the Lord has blessed us tremendously in this congregation. We have so much potential God's given, brought to us, each of us. He's placed each of us in this body. And I look around, there is talent everywhere. We have people receive the Word in a good and honest heart. And so, one of the things we want to do is, like, offer back to God. And so, individually, I hope each one of us asks this question, what can I bring? What will I bring? What will I offer? This service. God's not interested in us coming to be served, but to serve. When we proclaim His death until He comes again, that proclamation of His death should be carried out in our dying daily. Amen? And so let's consider this. Let's commune with Jesus and with each other. And let's make a conscious effort. We come, encourage each other, build one another up. As long as it's still called the day, like Nolan said, lest anyone be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We know this spiritual thing is a fight. And we see it. We feel it. It's tough. I don't think it's easy for any of us. It's a part of being here, man. You gotta get through this. And it's part of the plan that God has to perfect us. But we see brethren that slide away. Now, there's some individual responsibility. Don't get me wrong. Hey, you don't show up here. Hey, you can't be mad that you didn't get what you needed. But guys, we make an effort. People that come here make an effort. We want to go out of our way to stimulate one another, to love and good deeds, to encourage one another, to help each other on this race, to encourage that person, take that next step, get that next inch on this. Dig in. Hold on to that tug of war rope and don't let go. Hold fast what you got. God's going to bring us through. He's faithful. Eat His flesh. Drink His blood. And as you get life, give life to those around you.